flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rebound, Johnson. Bills bring it back down by seven. Johnson for Swope on the left wing. Wants a three. Bang! Swope show! Timeout, St. Louis.
Calling KMOX Friday night. That place was rocking at Chaffetz Arena. SLU lost it to Dayton 71-63. The head coach of the Billikens is Josh Schertz. Coach, it is always great to talk ball with you. How are you this morning?
I'm doing okay. Appreciate you having me on. Always enjoy connecting. I'm in my 10:30 slot, so I feel ready to go.
Good. I love when you're in the 10:30 slot, and I love talking basketball with you. Our Billiken Report, sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. Let's start with that atmosphere. I was there. I was in the house. I had my daughter Audrey with me, and we just ate it up. I mean, that's how the place should be, and that's how I believe it will be when you get this program to exactly where you want it. St. Louis responded Friday night, didn't they?
They were awesome. It was, it's been building. I thought we've had some good crowds in the league. You know, we've had a couple of pretty good wins. You know, you look at, we had a top, 35 win over VCU and a couple top, 90 wins over St. Bonaventure, St. Joe's at home. And crowd was great in those games. VCU had been the best crowd to this point, in my opinion, going into Friday night, but the Dayton game, the atmosphere, the electricity, the energy of the fans, there was a lot of reasons that loss was disappointing on so many levels, but at really the top of that was I was heartbroken for the fans because of the energy they brought, the energy they provided, the atmosphere they created, and you want to keep those people understand, hey, we are going to get this thing right. This team is, we gave ourselves a chance, but a big part of we had a chance was because the crowd kept lifting us, kept pulling us. And I thought the same thing against VCU as well. So, hopefully we can build on that. And like you said, the goal is that a crowd like that we saw on Friday night becomes that's just a regular night in Chaffetz Arena. At some point where that's not an anomaly or, man, it becomes that's the expectation, because that was one of the best home court atmospheres in all of college basketball. Although the atmosphere we experienced on Friday night, we just got to, be a little better as a team. But the fans were incredible.
They were waiting for that run to happen. And when it was 34-17, I believe, was the biggest margin for Dayton. They're up by 17 early. Of course, that doesn't look good on the scoreboard, but we know in college basketball that can be reduced in a heartbeat. And you were able to close that gap almost all the way. It was 52-50 at one point. And then to Dayton's credit, they made shots. And you know what? They made shots that I think I heard you say that part of that was about your scout. They were just finding ways to get open, moving around ball screens in a way that allowed them to get some open shots, Coach.
Yeah, no question. We got it back to two there with about seven to play, and we had it to – we had it to four and had a layup to cut it to two with about 3.5 minutes to play, and had some chances. We had a loose ball play we could have made. Dayton, credit them. I mean, they were, they outplayed us. They deserved to win the game. I don't. There's nothing there. But yeah, we had too many breakdowns. Tom, without, we obviously have a very small margin for error with this team. With the limitations inside the roster, all the injuries and everything else. I mean, our margin for error is incredibly small, and we can't afford to have any kind of mental breakdowns. And I thought, you know, going back to the film, 9 of the 11 threes they made were on what I would call scouting report breakdowns, you know, going under a screen on a guy that we can't go under, going, you know, ball side of a down screen of a guy we got to be chasing and take off the three-point line, over-helping and giving up an open three, getting stuck on a flare screen. But, you know, 9 of the 11 threes they made were scouting report breakdowns. That's what good teams do. I mean, Dayton's a really good basketball team. I mean, they've shown that. They obviously, you know, have a bunch of big wins, and you know, they've been a little up and down in conference play, but they were really good on Friday night, and to beat a really good team, there's a level of execution required, and we didn't meet it. And I didn't think we met it from a physicality standpoint. We got beat on too many 50-50 balls. But the biggest thing was the mental errors, and then, of course, 19 turnovers. So there was a lot of areas you could point to. We got to be better in all of them. We got to take better care of the ball. We've been really good scouting report defensively in the conference play, and we were not on Friday. And then offensively, we got to do a better job. We got to generate better shots. So we had 19 turnovers, and then we had a fair amount of what I would call shooting turnovers, where, you know, the shot selection. We weren't disciplined enough in terms of our generating great shots.
And well, we all saw the VCU game. I mean, it was a tremendous defensive effort, and really offensively too. I mean, just a really, really great win over a very good VCU team that's every bit as good as Dayton, and at times has looked actually better than them. But going back to Dayton, what did they do defensively? Was it both scheme and effort on their part? Because I thought from the very beginning, I watched how they guarded Robbie. Boy, they were bumping in that first possession. They were not allowing him to catch the ball. They were fronting him. They were pushing him. They were getting physical.
Yeah, no, they were super physical with him. I think, they guarded him kind of the way we're being guarded, which is, teams are putting their four men on Robbie. They guard him with Nate Santos. They put Letang in the paint, the 7-1 guy, and basically, stuck him in the paint and made him the all-time help, because they don't, teams are not going to, they don't have to really account for Kalu or those guys on the perimeter. And so they're able to kind of just stick a guy in the paint there and then try to front, make it hard. They switched some stuff. They were super physical with Robbie on his dribble downs and the post up. They did a good job of helping Letang, I think, in the first half, blocked three or four shots where, we got our shoulders by, got the ball to the rim. He was able to rotate over. We've got to do a better job of scheming this to find ways to do it. We've got to get guys recognizing when they are being guard like that, or guys an all-time help if the ball is driven. You know, that's a great time to cut and get layups. We got to do a better job there. We got to be stronger with the ball. You know, I think. But what Robbie's seen the last, really going back to VCU the first time, is that, he was guarded by, Jack Clark by VCU. He was guarded, he's going to be guarded by the opponents for, they're going to try to switch all of his ball screens to take away his pick and pop threes, try to put him in the situations where he's, going to post up, and then they're going to put their center in the middle of the lane and just say, hey, you're all-time help. And that's how, obviously for Kalu, but also whether it's Dylan Warlick or Max Bakar or Amari McCautry or whomever, Killian Brokoff, they're all going to get guarded the same way. And that's why you see, Dylan made two, got a couple wide open threes and Killian got a couple wide open threes out there. They're going to guard those guys the same way. We just got to step up and knock those down, but also recognize cutting opportunities. And Rob's got to be much stronger with the ball than he was, the last two games with VCU. Did it differently. They doubled him. Dayton played him straight up and just sunk that guy in to help because, it's 7-1.
Yeah, and human nature, two things. One, I mean, he is human, he's going to take a beating and have to adjust to it. But secondly, human nature on his part, trying to make things happen. I felt like he tried to thread the needle a few times with those passes, right? And that's what led to some turnovers. He's just trying to make something happen.
Yeah, I think he's frustrated, and I think some of those turnovers are that. I think he got the ball, he got to be tougher with the ball, own his space better. He's got to hit singles. I think he was playing, VCU doubled him, and I think, Dayton didn't. I think he kept waiting. He was more tentative than he needed to be. Honestly, the last two drives where he got it at the top of the key, drove it, and he got the ball to the rim twice for layups, he just missed both layups, which is, unlike him. I think he was just out of sorts a little bit. But, those were two really good plays. Like, those were aggressive downhill drives, and that was available to him because they weren't doubling him, you know, and so, you know, he is human. This is, you know, this is a part of the deal, like regression, friction, adversity, like this is part of what drives growth for players, for teams. Like he's had a pretty, you know, linear career in terms of, you know, he started as a freshman, he was good, didn't have much adversity, came back as a sophomore, became kind of a, you know, a national phenomenon, had a really good team around him, and now he's having, you know, here, this year has been a year of adversity for him, all the injuries, everything else. And then he came back and he was playing, you know, obviously at a really high level, arguably as good a player as there's been for most of the first, you know, 6-7 league games. These last two have been tough, and this is part of, you know, growth is figuring out, all right, this is how I'm being guarded. This is an obstacle put in front of me. Now, how do I clear this? And that makes you a better player. That's how every good player has to adapt. You know, you come into a league and, you know, people don't know you, then you can get to your strengths and people start to adapt to you and say, okay, well, he does this, take it away. Then, you know, if you're really good, people start double teaming you and they start game planning for you. And then your game has to evolve to be able to attack those things intelligently, which makes you a better player. And that's what you see with the really good players is, you know, they see everything, they adapt to how they're being guarded, but the team's game plan for them. And certainly, you know, everybody in our league is game planning for Robbie. There's no question about that. And now this is part of his growth and development as a player is to be able to do these things at a higher level. And I think, you know, he's got the skill and the intelligence and the will to do it, and the competitive drive. He's going to be fine. This will wind up being a really good thing for him in time.
And when you got those two early fouls against Dayton, it kind of threw everything out of whack. But when you had 33 about to check in, I nudged my 14-year-old Audrey and I said, hey, watch 33. This is my guy here. This guy is a winner. I mean, he played. And did he come through for me? He made me look good.
Awesome.
10 points. He was awesome. Dylan Warlick.
Yeah, Dylan's terrific. You know, he's, you know, it's such a cool story because, like I said, he couldn't even practice until November. So it's a guy who sat out the whole summer, the whole fall. You know, we knew we were redshirting him and here he is, you know, playing huge minutes against VCU because he was great against VCU and he was equally as good against Dayton. And, you know, he gives us a different look than Kalu. There's some trade-off in different things. Some trade-offs, you know, that you have to give up whatever rebounding and various things. But, you know, Dylan can shoot the basketball. He's a skilled offensive player and he buried two huge threes, but he can take it down the post and he's so physical. He's so strong. He competes so hard. He's incredibly smart. And when you have a young guy like that, you know, freshman, you know, usually their issues are, you know, the transition from high school to college. What usually gets most guys is they either, they're not physically ready to play. He's physically ready to play. The second one is they don't necessarily play hard enough. There's a different level of, you know, of effort at this level and physicality, and he plays hard enough. And then the third piece is, you know, they got to understand what's going on. The game at this level is more complex than it was for most guys in high school. So, and he's got a super high basketball IQ. So, you know, those three things, he just checks and clears those boxes. And he's been able to really be impactful as a freshman. I think he's just going to get better and better because he's getting more comfortable. And this week should give him a lot of confidence to come out and do what he did against VCU and Dayton, which are arguably the two best teams in the league, and to come out and do that. You know, he should have a lot of confidence moving forward. He's going to play a ton of minutes for us here down the stretch of the season.
Last quick thing, what can you tell us about Kellen Thames and his situation?
Yeah, I mean, Kellen for right now is out, you know, and so, you know, like I said, Kellen and I had a conversation coming out of GW, and, you know, I'm going to keep that, you know, conversation between us confidential. Kellen will talk about, you know, everything. I think when he's ready, it's really on him, but he's out for right now. I don't want to make any like sweeping statements that it's because I don't know. And I don't think Kellen knows. But for right now, you know, he's practicing, he's traveling, you know, but he's out could he return this year? Of course. Could he not? Of course. We don't know. I think it's just an indefinite deal. But again, he's practicing every day. Kellen's handled a a difficult situation with an incredible amount of grace and positivity, and it's not easy circumstances for him, and certainly, like I said, he's a guy. I mean, you know, I think he's a guy that's an ultimate winner, ultimate competitor. I think it kills him right now not to be out there, but he's being such an incredible teammate to the guys. His the way his positivity, his energy, he's pouring himself into his teammates, and you can see it on the bench and everywhere else. And certainly, we're all fingers crossed that he'll be back at some point and be at full strength. Because if he's back at full strength, I think he's one of the better players in the league, and he changes our team dramatically with what he can do on both ends of the floor. But we don't know what the future holds there.
I appreciate the update. He is a difference maker for sure. It's a travel day tomorrow for SLU. They visit UMass, 6 o'clock tip off on Tuesday on KMOX. I'll have the coaches show tomorrow with Rebecca Tillett at Westport Social. We hope to see you there. And Coach Josh Schertz has been with us on KMOX. Thank you so much for this, Coach. Safe travels to UMass.
Appreciate it, Tom. I'll talk to you soon, and I look forward to seeing you.
Look forward to catching up with you. Josh Schertz, head coach of the Billikens, with us, sponsored by Royal Banks of Missouri. When we come back, St. Louis native Brian Kamenetsky. He and his brother Andy run the Locked On Lakers podcast, and the Lakers are in the news for sure. They have landed Luka Doncic in an overnight trade. We'll tell you about it through Brian next on KMOX.